This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and woo, now honey. I've changed my mind, this love is fine. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kisses, baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. Well, I want to love you like I love a shoe. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine. That you're my little
hey, little rock and roll music from way back, around 1954, 1955. And this name escapes me. I can't remember. Yeah, Jerry Lee. Jerry Lee Lewis, of course. You know, he came along at the same time that Elvis Presley and there was one other guy that came along with him at the same time. They were going down to Sun Records, Memphis, Tennessee in 1954. And I think Jerry Lee's the only one that's left. He's still alive. So there you
were
go.
Were you there?
No, I wasn't there. You know, actually, yes. I take it back. In 1954, I was 7 years old living in Memphis, Tennessee. My dad worked for the Chicago Sun-Times. The answer is yes. I was in Memphis in 1954. So there, Mr. Big Time, Big Shot. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. We are not in Memphis, though. We are in Tampa Bay, Florida. I am Paul Molloy. It's Wednesday, July 15th. Thank you very much for joining us. Boy, what a big news day yesterday. We got so much to talk about. In a few minutes, Andy Craig, he is the secretary of the Wisconsin Libertarian Party, is going to join us. Their group has come out opposed to Scott Walker. You know, Scott's the governor of Wisconsin. They're opposed to him for president. We're going to find out why. So stick around for that. Also, Planned Parenthood caught dead to rights on videotape selling aborted baby parts. That is not going to look good for their public relations, and we're going to talk about that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10 list, boy, oh boy, every one of you listening will want to stick around for this one. We have found America's top 10 best fast food restaurants for French fries. Try to say that 10 times in a row. You will be taken off the air if you say it too many times because you'll screw it up. 10 best fast food French fry restaurants. So there you go. By the way, 3 days a week we try to do this show, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, to promote the concept of individual liberty. Our motto is the more individual freedom we are blessed with, the better we all are. Our whole society, our whole culture. We are losing that concept, my friends. We are losing it, step by step, inch by inch, and that is why we do this show. Anyway, if you want to call in, our toll-free number is 866-826-1340, 866-826-1340. Please visit our website, thefreedomworks.com. You will find a podcast button there along with all kinds of things about the show, why we do it. Big Ed sets up all of our programs, though, that you can listen at your leisure. You can go back and listen again to one of the shows and get the pearls of wisdom that drop from our lips. TheFreedomWorks.com. TheFreedomWorks.com. Well, in a few moments, Andy Craig will join us. As you know, Scott Walker announced for president on Monday. In the meantime, he joins a group of about, what do we got now, about 16 or 17 Republicans. So, USA Today has now come out with a new poll. And guess who is the number one Republican presidential candidate for president? Yes. Yeah, Big Ed is in the know. You know why? Because he listens to the show and also helps create it. Donald Trump is number one. Now, this isn't just the USA Today. This is Suffolk University, who worked with USA Today to come out with this poll. Trump got 17%. Of all of the votes as first choice for president. He was followed by Jeb Bush at 14%. Then comes Scott Walker at 8%, followed by Ted Cruz at 6%, Marco Rubio at 5%, Ben Carson 4%, Rand Paul also 4%, Mike Huckabee also 4%, Chris Christie 3%. I mean, we got so many people, it goes on and on, you know. We also have people that have under 2%, including Rick Perry, Bobby Jindal, Rick Santorum, Carly Fiorina, John Kasich, Lindsey Graham, George Pataki. Bingo! That's about 20 Republican candidates. Why do we have 20 Republican candidates running and only about 3 or 4 Democratic candidates running? I mean, Obama's not going to be around. It's up for grabs. How come we don't have 20 Democratic candidates running? Aren't there 20 people that are good enough in the Democratic Party to want to run for president? Anyway, now, you know, Donald Trump, if he wasn't such a shooting his mouth off all the time, a lot of things in between all the bombast, a lot of things that he says registers very true with people. They go, yeah, 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 we like what you are saying. But then, you know, he gets going and he puts down individuals and he's sort of an amateur. Even though he's got all of this celebrity and television experience, do you notice how much of an amateur he is when it comes to politics? But people like it. They go, you know what? He says just exactly what I feel and he doesn't care what people think. And that's it. So he's continuing to be at the top. How long that will last, I don't know. But it's pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, just so you know that this is a fairly sophisticated poll, let me find here. They took this, they used landline and cell phones. They took 1,000 adults. It was between July 9th and 12th. What else is it? They went after only Republicans because only Republicans are going to vote in the Republican primary. They also did apparently something here with some Democrats. It says they asked if they would vote for either Hillary or Donald Trump to some group here, so it had to be Democrats as well. And Hillary led Trump by 17 points in a 1-to-1 matchup, 51-34%. Jeb Bush was her closest rival in a matchup. She only led Jeb Bush by 4%, 46-42. But she got less than 50% of the vote when it came to, you know, using everybody. Anyway, very interesting. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, we are going to hone in on Scott Walker with Andy Craig. So don't go away.
Breathless.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, it's Sawyer from the Dolphin Tale movies. Now is the perfect time to visit the world-famous Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Millions have seen us around the world, and now you can experience what we do in person. Come and reconnect with Winter and her fun-loving movie co-stars, Hope, Mavis, and yes, that crazy bird, Rufus. Immerse yourself into the world of marine life rescue with the behind-the-scenes tour. Explore the film sets, and don't miss our free boating adventure. Save time in line when you buy tickets at seawinter.com. Kids only $16.95.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge
is all... Hi, it's Mike Riso, one of the professional golf instructors at Clearwater Country Club. Our daily golf tips are here to help you improve your game. as simply and quickly as possible. Tune in each morning and we'll have a fresh new golf tip that'll help you with your putting, chipping, pitching, and sand shots, and lower your scores at distance and boost your confidence too. Like to play Clearwater Country Club? We're open to the public, and afternoon rates start at only $26.95. We're conveniently located on North Petty Lane off Drew Street. For tee times, call the Pro Shop at 727-461-4188. Or find us on the web at clearwatercountryclub.com.
Some people don't believe in mermaids. Hope that's not you, because they exist at Wickiwatchee Springs State Park off US 19 and State Road 50, just north of Spring Hill. Since 1947, the magic of the mermaids have been entertaining visitors at the 538-acre Springs Park. Come and watch in the 400 seat submerged theater, The Little Mermaid Show at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. daily. Wickiwatchee State Park offers mermaid shows, reptile shows, boat tours, and swimming in the pristine spring at Buccaneer Bay. Wickiwatchee State Park is a perfect backdrop for wedding receptions, birthday parties, picnics, meetings, retreats, family reunions, or just to relax on the white sandy beach. Step back in time when things were much simpler and enjoyable. Spend the day at an original theme park. Call 352-592-5656 or log on to wickiwatchee.com for upcoming events, hours, and ticket pricing. Wickiwatchee Springs State Park, where mermaids do exist.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Open up a honey, it's your lover boy, me that's knocking.
Why don't you listen? Hey, thanks for joining us on this Wednesday on Freedom Works, and we're delighted that they have Andy Craig. He is the secretary of the Wisconsin Libertarian Party. Join us. The Wisconsin Libertarian Party has put out a piece on Scott Walker. There in Wisconsin, the governor, who is running for president, pretty much after reading your take on it, Craig, people might wonder how he was ever reelected governor of Wisconsin. There's quite a few things you say about him, the party, indeed, that would make one wonder if he is really the conservative he purports to be. Welcome to Freedom Works. Tell me a little bit about why you're not comfortable with Scott Walker for president.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me on. Well, there's a lot of things from his record as governor, and I would sum it up as being a crony capitalist social conservative would be the main areas of disagreement we've had with him here at the state level. When it comes to president, my biggest objection there is foreign policy. I think that's the most important consideration for that office.
You think he's too much of a hawk?
Mm-hmm. He's absolutely too much of a hawk. I mean, he's... you know, he goes through, he's one of these governors that's gone through the ritual of supposedly having a blank slate on foreign policy, and then he goes and learns at the feet of Bill Kristol and Henry Kissinger, and now, you know, he's basically, you know, whatever the war hawk position of the moment is, he's been out there stating that, saying he wants to go back into Iraq, taking a pro-war position on Iran and the rest of it.
I'm going to get back to the foreign policy a little bit later in our interview, because I want to talk to you about what libertarians think about this treaty with Iran. But in the meantime, I want to get back to Scott Walker and read off some of the things that the Wisconsin Libertarian Party has said. Walker threatened to veto constitutional gun carry laws and then signed a watered-down version of it later. His main economic growth push, according to your Libertarian Party, is a crony capitalist slush fund. He forbade the construction of a new casino in southeast Wisconsin, private business venture, while pushing more government money for, I guess, the Bradley Center in Milwaukee. Is that what that's all about?
The replacement for the Bradley
Center. Let's see. He's a prohibitionist. He's not a big guy for allowing marijuana. Okay, that certainly is a libertarian position. Ethanol subsidies. He has flip-flopped on ethanol subsidies. Now tell me, so how do you feel about the way he handled the... his battle with the powerful public sector unions in Wisconsin, like the teachers and the others?
Well, it's a mixed bag from our perspective. I mean, obviously, in general, we agree with the principle of reducing public sector union power and the rest of it, and a lot of and things like mandatory membership. The way he went about it was pretty partisan and was more divisive than it needed to be, I think. But at the same time, we thought the recall was pretty much a waste of time and money. We didn't run a candidate in it. So I guess that would be more or less how we came down on that. I would say about Act 10, the most important thing people should know to show how he went about it as a matter of politics instead of principle is in order to get the police and firefighters unions to still back him, he exempted them. And those are police unions are arguably the most problematic public sector union we currently have, but he completely exempted them because they were willing to not back his Democratic opponent. So, you know, that's how that went. But I think the Democratic meltdown over that, I ran for Secretary of State last year, and my Democratic incumbent opponent actually tried to refuse to publish the law and provoke this kind of mini constitutional crisis over it. And that and a lot of the protest, I think it just didn't play well with the majority in Wisconsin. And that was clearly borne out by the election results.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Andy Craig. He is the secretary of the Libertarian Party of Wisconsin. Well, it turns out that he gets reelected again. He obviously survived the recall. He sounds like he's a pretty popular guy. Obviously, he's not popular with Democrats. But has he not turned things around with the budget shortfall and everything else? Aren't things better off in Wisconsin since he's been governor economically? Isn't that true?
To a degree. I mean, there's been some steps in the right direction. There's been some property tax reduction. But what we've seen again and again is that the Republicans in the legislature actually do want to go further and make some more substantive changes. And Walker walks them back to something that, you know, he considers the more moderate, acceptable position. That's what happened on the constitutional carry issue. It's what's happened with tax reform.
But you got to realize he's also dealing with Democrats. I mean, he has to.
Well, no, he's dealing with the Republican.
But there's give and take on the gun carry issue, isn't there, with Democrats? I mean, to get all of that through, doesn't he have to do a little give and take?
Well, the Democrat, you know, he's had a Republican majority in the legislature his whole time. So, I mean, the Democrats can make noise and protest, but like with Act 10, they don't have votes to stop anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's get back now to his foreign policy. First of all, he's been a governor, so we don't know. He's not had any foreign policy experience. But then again, neither has Barack Obama. In fact, Barack Obama hasn't even had executive experience until he became president. We've got a situation with Iran. Obama's administration has brought back whatever you want to call it. It's not technically a treaty, but it's an agreement to help stall or stop Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. You say that Walker would not be good in this kind of thing. What kind of a president do you, the Wisconsin Libertarian Party, want to see when it comes to stopping a country from Iran from developing an atomic weapon?
Well, I would say to begin with on the recent deal that everybody's criticizing it upholding sanctions as being better, and I don't agree that sanctions are either effective or desirable. But assuming that that's the goal, that we need to keep the sanction regime, then rejecting this deal means the sanctions regime is going to fall apart because Russia and China were going to withdraw from it anyway. So there's kind of a false choice that's been set up here between continuing the harsh sanctions or the deal, when really it's the deal or no sanctions, effectively breaking down. I support what Gary Johnson and Ron Paul have said about the issue. That you know, for one thing, I don't think there's any clear evidence that this is some sort of imminent crisis that the United States just needs to take military action over. I don't think there's any evidence that Iran intends to, you know, attack out of the blue either Israel or the United States with nuclear weapons. And if they did, we're more than capable of retaliating. I mean, I think it's the same sort of thing we heard with Iraq, and mm-hmm. You know how that turned out.
Well, if you were in Israel,
I don't think.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just saying.
I don't think that this kind of, I mean, broadly neoconservative position about Iran being a mortal national security threat, I think that a lot of it's overblown.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think diplomacy and free trade is the way to go forward.
I guess Israel would disagree with you, correct?
The Israeli government would, at least the one currently in power, but not I'm sure not all Israelis disagree with that.
Well, I mean, don't you think that they have a little more stake in this?
If they feel threatened sufficiently that they need to take action, they should be free to without the United, you know, having to ask permission from the United States for us getting in the way.
And I doubt that they would ask permission.
That's a decision for them to make. You know, whether or not it would be tactically and strategically wise for them to do that is up for debate, but it's certainly their decision to make.
Sure. You know, here we go into what I would consider, and I'm a libertarian, but this is the ongoing libertarian, whatever you want to call it, Rubik's Cube. If you don't do anything, I mean, the libertarian mantra is we should stop being the world's policeman. Fair enough. But you have to, you can't turn your back on countries that can develop nuclear weapons because it will eventually affect the security of our country as well, correct? So you have to be involved. Go ahead.
Well, I think one thing that's important to keep in mind is nuclear weapons are not new technology. There's not much secret to them. If a developed nation state wants to develop them, there's not much we can do to stop it. That's the reality of that. This is, World War II era technology, and it's lack of will that is the reason we don't have more nuclear proliferation. It's not because the United States is going around threatening countries with military action if they do develop a nuclear weapon.
But to stave off war between different countries that have a nuclear weapon, which is not something anybody wants, there has to be agreements and alliances, correct? That means that the United States, which is one of the more powerful countries, has to become involved with other countries to deal with certain countries that we are worried about. Let's be honest. We are more worried about Iran and a nuclear weapon or North Korea and a nuclear weapon, more of the roguish kinds of states. Because, you know, even when I was a kid, I used to worry about, an atomic bomb or a hydrogen bomb getting in the hands of the wrong people, some crazy person that would set it off. They made movies about it, you know?
Right.
Okay. So there is that concern. A libertarian would say it's none of our affair unless we're directly attacked. But maybe that's not so easy to do in this day and age, right?
Well, I would say attacked or threatened. If there is a legitimate threat, we can certainly take preemptive.
Well, is Iran a legitimate threat? Do you think Iran's grabbing a nuclear weapon with the Ayatollahs and all of that? Do you think that would be a threat?
Honestly, no. I do not think it would be such a threat that it could not be handled diplomatically. We haven't gone to war with North Korea or Pakistan yet, and they both developed nuclear weapons.
Yes, but they don't have the capacity to send them. I mean, North Korea does not have the capacity to launch a nuclear weapon at this point. At least we don't believe that it has. Nobody's crazier than that guy, right?
Well, exactly. But, I mean, we dealt with Joseph Stalin when he had a lot of them, and he was pretty crazy, too. Mao Zedong, I think they were both ranked up on the list worse than the Ayatollahs by any reasonable measure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Iran, I mean, it's been, Iran does not have a history of attacking other nations. It's 400-year history going back, to the last time they were at war with the Imperial Russians, I think, is how far you have to go back. For where they've attacked another nation.
Well, they've been involved to some extent in Syria, correct?
They've been involved. Well, yes, they've been involved to some.
So, I mean, you say they haven't attacked, but they've been involved in some connection to war in other countries.
But I think it's a pretty big leap from that to the Iranian government nuking Tel Aviv or New York City unprovoked. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's something I would.
But they're part of that Death Day Israel crowd. They continue to. I mean, even when they were negotiating with us on this agreement, they're out in the street screaming "Death to Israel," right?
Well,
I mean, we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that.
Well, no, we can't ignore it. I'm not. I mean, the Iranian government is a horrible authoritarian regime. There's no doubt about that. And it's in that regard, it's a deeply racist regime. But I don't think. To put it bluntly, death to Israel is a pretty common chant across the Muslim world. You can hear people chanting it in Egypt, even though they've had a peace treaty with Israel since the 70s. Jordan has had a peace treaty with Israel since the 90s. I think you have to look beyond just some of the rhetoric to the pragmatic reality of the diplomatic and political alignments that do exist.
Sure.
I mean, we're practically on Iran's side in Iraq right now. We're having these negotiations and implicitly threatening to launch airstrikes and bomb Iran, we're basically funding the same side, working with the government they back in Baghdad to go after ISIS. So that just shows the kind of incoherence that we inevitably get when we get into this picking sides and trying to pick winners and losers in these regional geopolitical struggles on the other side of the globe that are not a matter of a direct national security threat to the United States.
Yeah, fair enough. We've been talking with Andy Craig, the secretary of the Wisconsin Libertarian Party. And finally, Andy, do you have any presidential candidate that you will be backing, or will you be backing, let's say, the Libertarian Party's presidential candidate, if there is one?
I'll be backing, unless it's somebody I have some particularly big objection to, which I doubt will be the case, I'll be backing the Libertarian Party nominee, and in all likelihood, that will be Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson.
Not announced yet,
mm-hmm.
but he's probably going to run again, the former governor of New Mexico and our 2012 candidate. And I'm backing him for the nomination, and I plan to support him in the election.
Terrific. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, Andy, and enjoyed this conversation. I went to Marquette University, and I think Scott Walker went there, too. We're not all that bad, believe me. But listen, thanks very much for your time, and I hope we'll talk down the road.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Andy Craig. All right, going to take a break. Don't forget, we got a lot of things to talk about, including Planned Parenthood and the selling of aborted baby parts. Honey, get your bopping shoes for the jukebox blow the fuse. Everybody hopping, everybody bopping, bopping at the high school hop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With the All-Star game now complete, the Rays still have 2 days left in their All-Star break. Tampa Bay entered the break at 46-45 in second place in the American League East. The Rays swept their last series against Houston. That said, reliever Steve Geltz believes the break came at a good time and will help the team mentally and physically.
Well, I think that's kind of relative to the guy. I think some of us in the bullpen, it's going to be a little bit more physical because we've been used a lot this year. And the mental thing is kind of different for us because we're in a different role. We always have to so that's a little bit easier for us to check in and check out. But I'm sure for some of the guys, the whole mental getaway thing is going to be real nice.
The Rays also have a better stretch of days off in July and August after playing 33 games in 34 days going into the break. After it, the Rays have 5 days off in the next 28 days. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
Catch the Rays all season on the Rays Radio Network. For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl,
If you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, Bowling Stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Have you been struggling with family conflict, depression, or trauma? Has something been keeping you up at night, causing excessive stress and worry? Tune in to Moments of Clarity every Wednesday night at 8. After over 10 years as a psychotherapist, I realized how important it is to take the stigma out of seeking professional help. So tune in Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. The call to me can be a great first step. It may just be exactly what you need to hear.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning here on Freedom Works. Well, you know, we're a pro-life, pretty much. And these kinds of things, when they come out, they make you realize the value of life, or at least consider it. But apparently there is a video of an interview with the Senior Director of Medical Services for Planned Parenthood. Her name is Deborah Nucatola. They filmed it in July of last year. The Center for Medical Progress sent a couple of actors over to talk with Deborah. Apparently they were having some sort of a dinner in a Los Angeles restaurant. What a place to talk about this. But the video shows Nucatola describing in somewhat graphic detail how abortionists are able to harvest certain organs from aborted babies based on parts that are needed. I mean, is this what this whole concept of abortion has come to? I mean, it was really sickening. We won't go into the detail, but Planned Parenthood has issued a statement denying that they're doing anything wrong. In other words, you know, these parts can be used to help other people is kind of what they're saying. Here is a quote from Planned Parenthood, a well-funded group established for the purpose of damaging Planned Parenthood's mission and services, has promoted a heavily edited, secretly recorded videotape that falsely portrays Planned Parenthood's involvement in tissue donation that supports life-saving scientific research. Note that they don't disagree that they get involved in harvesting organs of aborted babies. So all I got to say is if we've gotten to that point, I think we need to re-examine the whole concept of humanity. Well, you knew this was going to happen. The Stars and Bars Confederate flag, very offensive to black people, is being pretty much taken out of the public consciousness, as it were. But in the meantime, they're going a little bit further. Now, the Atlanta NAACP wants a Confederate sculpture removed. It's a sculpture in Georgia, which is very large, bigger than a football field. It depicts Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson. And they want this thing expunged. They called for its elimination and the elimination of all symbols of the Confederacy from Stone Mountain Park in Georgia. This is their marquee attraction, by the way. It's 90 feet high, 190 feet wide. It's carved into the mountain there. Here is the Atlanta leader of the NAACP, Richard Rose. He says, quote, "Those guys need to go." He went on to say, "My tax dollars should not be used to commemorate slavery." In addition to the removal of these Confederate symbols from Stone Mountain Park, the group says it also wants all symbols removed from state-owned buildings, parks, and lands. So I'm beginning to think that they will start asking for statues of Robert E. Lee and this, that, the other thing, expunged. But what you're doing then is expunging history. And you have to be very careful about trying to erase history. History is history. Whether you like it or not, we commemorate certain things. Nobody liked the attack on Pearl Harbor, but we don't expunge it from our consciousness. We still honor that day. We honor it for the very reason that we defended our liberty on that day. Now, here is Congressman Hank Johnson from Georgia, Democrat, who serves in that district in which this mountain site is involved, says he's not so much affected by Stone Mountain Park as he is by the flag flying at an official government building like a state capitol or even the federal capitol. Okay, so he's going back to the stars and bars, and he's saying that, the carving doesn't bother him as much. He says, I view Stone Mountain as more of a museum-type archaeological place of remembrance for those who want to remember back then, and they have a right to remember back then, and that's why the park is there. But, indeed, as you will see, there will be a move to get rid of any symbol of the Confederacy, statues, any kind of a symbol. And it is wrong. You cannot and you should not try to erase history, because remember, those that do not recall their history are doomed to repeat it. It's a very old saying, and it makes a lot of sense. Well, the Executive Committee of the Boy Scouts unanimously okaying a resolution that would allow gay men to be scout leaders. Now, this does not force gay men into scout troops that are religious, as in the Catholic Church and in some others, Baptists and the like. But in general, their resolution was unanimously approved to allow gay scout leaders. Now, in 2013, after a lot of arguing, the Boy Scouts decided to allow openly gay scouts. But they decided at that time that gay leaders would not be allowed. And that took place, that change took place in January 2014. Under the new resolution, local scout units can decide and would be able to select adult leaders without regard to their sexual preference. I think that this is going to shorten or decrease attendance in scouting, because if you think about it, most of the kids that go into scouts usually do so at the urging of their parents, and these are usually mother and father parents. And I just think in the long run, this is probably going to start cutting back on the number of scouting organizations. Now, keep in mind, again, that if you are a Catholic Boy Scout troop, or perhaps a Jewish or perhaps a Protestant Boy Scout troop, in other words, involved with a religion, that you have the right to choose whoever you would like, and you will not be forced to take on a gay leader, at least so far. In the meantime, as long as we're talking about religion, the Little Sisters of the Poor apparently lost this one. A Denver court has ruled against them. A federal appeals court in Denver ruled yesterday against the Little Sisters, who had been challenging a provision in the Obamacare that requires them to provide insurance policies covering contraception. Now, religious groups were already exempt from covering contraception. But the Little Sisters argue that the exemption didn't go far enough because they still have to sign away the coverage to another party, which indeed would allow contraception. So they feel that indirectly they're still involved in it. Well, the court ruled that because the Little Sisters had the option of signing a form that would transfer covering contraception to a third party, they did not show that the Obamacare mandate placed a burden on their right to exercise freedom of religion. In other words, you signed away your rights. After that, you know, it's not your affair anymore. So there you go. Anyway, let's take our final break. We are getting closer to telling you where you go. What fast food restaurant do you want to go to when you really crave good French fries? So don't go away.
Why don't you listen to me, sugar? All the kids are at the high school rockin'. Honey, get your boppin' shoes. For the jukebox blow the fuse. Everybody hopping, everybody's bopping, bopping at the high school hop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
An extra special guest on the Arts Deal Hour next Sunday. It's a story as exciting today as it was 53 years ago. The story of Joe Kittinger, an Air Force captain who rode a so-called tin can to the edge of space, 102,800 feet. Without pressure, a person's blood boils at 90,000 feet. It's 90 degrees below zero. Don't miss this one Sunday evening, 7.05 to 8 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio and the Internet.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hi, this is John Austin, host of the book club on the Tan Talk Radio Network. I spent 35 years in publishing, and today I want to tell you about a book that can change people's lives. The book is No Cash, No Problem, and the author is Dave Wagenford with Ali Pervez. Dave Wagenford is one of the greatest barter experts in the world, and he's bartered over $500 million worth of goods and services. If you want to remodel your house, but the cost is just too high, or maybe there's an automobile that you've dreamed of owning, but thought you never could afford. This book will tell you how you can do both of those things, plus hundreds more with little or no cash and without going into hock for the rest of your life. Maybe you're a business owner with a cash flow problem that leads to low or non-existent profits. Read this book and see how you can increase your cash flow and your profits by time-proven techniques. The book, again, is No Cash, No Problem, and you can buy it now on Amazon for just $7.98 for the ebook edition. Do yourself a big favor and buy it today.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday. Boy, this month is moving through very, very quickly. Well, we all know about that, if you've been watching the news at all, about that poor young lady that went to the pier in San Francisco and was shot by an illegal alien that had been deported five times. And he gets into San Francisco, which is called a sanctuary city. Now, President Obama has had a habit of going and apologizing to the parents of people who have been murdered, most recently in a couple of these racially charged cases, right? So here is where Homeland Security drops the ball. And you would think that maybe Obama would take a moment to talk to the parents of this woman who was killed, this young woman. Apparently not. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson would not say yesterday whether the Obama administration was going to call the family of this young woman who was killed earlier this month on a San Francisco pier. Again, killed by this illegal immigrant. In fact, nobody from the government has been in touch with these people whatsoever. I think that's rather disconcerting. A congressman, a Republican congressman, asked Johnson during a Capitol Hill hearing yesterday if the administration was going to do so or had already done so. And Johnson initially said, to who? And the guy said, well, to the family of this girl. We're talking, by the way, about the family of Catherine Steinle. She was 32 years old. She was with her parents at the time. And this guy that had killed her had a lengthy felony record, had been deported, I believe, five times. But you see, San Francisco, if you go into the sanctuary cities like San Francisco, they pretty much leave you alone if you've got a little bit of a track record. The guy claimed he went to San Francisco because of his track record. Well, kind of sad, isn't it? Maybe Obama could find time to pick up the phone, or Vice President Joe Biden or somebody. Just pick up the phone and call them and say, we're deeply sorry for what happened to your daughter. It wouldn't take too much, I wouldn't think. Hey, down in Texas, they're getting pretty upset with the federal government. A group of Texas secessionists are hitting the road to bring their message of a Lone Star Nation to more than 20 cities across the state. I tell you what, if any state would secede, I think Texas would probably be the first one. Big Ed, you're shaking your head. Do you think we should have Texas secede? Do you think that this would start a trend?
I mean, just add it to the Mexican border, I think.
Yeah, it would become part of Mexico.
It's all it would do.
You're probably right. Anyway, it's called the Texas Nationalist Movement, and they are kicking off their Take Texas Back tour. Sounds like a rock group. Take Texas, let's get tickets for the Take Texas Back tour. I'm going to be playing a lot of country and western, I would think. They've got speaking dates booked at hotels and other venues. They're going to be going around the state talking about it. They want to collect signatures to get Texas, you know, a referendum, a ballot referendum, on the 2016 ballot to consider secession. Well, nobody's going to vote for it. In fact, only the legislature can get referendums on the ballot in Texas. But these separatists hope that, they're going to build some momentum. They've created a collection of Facebook events for each of their bookings. So far, the highest number of confirmed guests, 88 people in Tyler, Texas. So I don't think that they've quite gotten it off the ground. They do have 62 people in Fort Worth. Most of their seminars are booked probably at smaller hotels. What are those ones where we'll keep the light on for you? Maybe those are the kind of...
Motel 8?
Yeah, Motel 6?
Motel 6.
Motel 6. Maybe they're at Motel 6s. But you know, we're laughing about it, but secession is indeed an option if a state is really upset with the way things are going. And... there's a lot of conservative types in Texas, you know, and they don't like federal government intervention. Let's face it, Texas is doing pretty well. Their employment numbers are very good. A lot of people are pouring into the state. It's the second largest state in the union population-wise. So they got a lot of pull. Anyway, I don't think this is going to get very far. Back, by the way, in 1869, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states have no right to secede from the Union. Well, you can have a Supreme Court ruling, but if a state wants to secede from the Union, I think they will. What are they going to do? Say, oh, well, the Supreme Court says we can't have that liberty. I'm not so sure. So we'll see where all of that goes. But you know what? There is going to be a little bit of secession talk. New Hampshire is another state where they've talked about it from time to time. There's a lot of libertarians in New Hampshire. I don't know if it's as libertarian as it used to be, but I don't think this is going to go too far, my friends. Well, I tell you what, let's get right to our top 10 because we got a really good one here. And I know, Ed, you and I both like fries, and I know you are a connoisseur of fries. So we're going to see if you know what is the number one best fast food restaurants, French fries, right?
Mm-hmm.
This, by the way, is, it came out, I found it on the AOL website, but they did a very large poll to find the best fast food French fry joints. So hopefully this is somewhat comprehensive. So here we go, number 10. What? That was a small one. All right. I know 10 isn't as good.
My hand was tired already.
All right. You know, you got to just hold those sticks mm-hmm. real tight. All mm-hmm. right. Number 10 is Jack in the Box.
They're still around?
Apparently, they're still around in certain places. Now, do you recall their fries?
Yeah. No, I don't recall their fries.
Okay. I don't recall their fries either. So we'll forget about Jack in the Box. Mm-hmm. I remember they had that interesting hamburger, mm. and I kind of like the taste of it, mm. to be honest. I think it was called a Bonus Jack or something like that. Mm. Then they got in trouble some health issue somewhere. Okay, number nine.
Checkers?
No, yeah. Not Checkers, okay. Although you're close.
Okay.
Remember Carl's Jr.?
Yes.
And Hardee's?
They're also Hardee's, right?
They are. Yeah. Carl's Jr. and Hardee's. And I tell you what, I used to like the Hardee's chicken.
Yeah.
And their fries were not too bad.
They keep having this burger with like 17 pieces of meat on it.
Ooh.
It's called a heart attack or something.
Heart attack
with
is right.
Jalapenos glazing out of it and gushing all over the place and cheese, and it's like nasty looking.
It's a nasty
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I'm like.
Sounds like it would be impossible to put your mouth
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I would think
actually.
So.
Okay.
I think so.
All right, number eight. And I've never been to this place, Sonic Drive-In.
I've been to Sonic.
They have good fries?
No.
How did they make eighth?
They're obviously a little better than Checkers.
Oh,
or a little
okay.
worse than Checkers.
All right. Number seven. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Mm.
Now, you like that fries there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, their fries were kind of, you know, just kind of, no.
You don't like
again.
It?
No.
Okay. All right. Number six. Arby's.
I knew they'd be in there.
Arby's. Now, yeah. I remember their roast beef sandwiches and stuff. By the way, I was never impressed with them.
Mm.
But are their fries any good, do you recall?
No, I think those were also skinny and kind of bland. But as you realize, the higher we get, the better the fries are supposed to be.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, when you get to the really popular fast food places, yep. one of the reasons you go in is for the fries.
Right.
Number five. Okay, here is Checkers.
Mm.
Checkers slash Rallies.
Yeah, Checkers should be lower. They have those stupid seasoned fries.
Yes, they
like,
do.
If you don't like them, then it's like you can't even get them without. So
I think that you're right. I think that that's an acquired taste, and if you like that kind of seasoning, you probably love these things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a big fan, you go, ah, you know. I don't think it's a true French fry. It's kind of like a different kind of fry.
And they did well because they came out with all those prefab units, and they could just drop them anywhere.
Yes.
So they exploded, and now they've kind of backed off quite
backed
a bit.
They backed off. Yeah. And we still have them around Tampa.
Yeah, they're still around.
Yeah. In fact, I think Checkers started here.
There was one in downtown Clearwood. It's gone, but there's one in Largo, and there's one in
There's one on McMullen Booth Road.
Yes.
Not far from Enterprise.
Right.
I know that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, number four. And these people have been in the news for other reasons, but Chick-fil-A.
Oops.
Chick-fil-A.
You know, they have those waffle fries. You either like those or you don't like those.
Do you like them?
No.
You don't like them?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, if I had a choice, no.
Yeah. A lot of air going through those things.
I have top two, my top two.
All right, well, we're coming down to the top three.
Okay.
So let's see how close you are. Number three, Burger King.
Okay.
Burger King. Now, they changed their fry.
Yes, they did.
Remember?
To be more like McDonald's they went after.
They did
yes.
they? Okay.
Yes.
Do you like their fries now?
They're okay. They're not. I would put them third, and I have my second.
Yeah, all right. Now I know you're not going to know the next one.
Really? So Wendy's did not get in there?
Well, let's find out. Number two. Let me ask you if you know this one. Five Guys.
Yeah, Five Guys Burgers and Fries.
I didn't know them.
Yeah.
Are they good?
I never had them.
Where are they located?
They're quite a few, three, four franchises around here.
There are, here in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so that leaves either, I'm going to tell you, two major restaurants that you can consider.
I'm good.
Who do you think is number one?
Absolutely 100% has to be McDonald's.
You are correct.
Aha.
You are correct, sir. McDonald's is the best. McDonald's is the best, and there is no Wendy's. And I agree with you. I'm surprised that they didn't have Wendy's fries. They're good.
I am really surprised because that would be my number two.
That would be mine, too.
Yeah.
Well, my friends, thank you very much for joining us. We will be back on Friday. Have a wonderful day. Freedom works.
Please don't tease. If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love will tumble and dime.